When I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark. And I'm not too comfortable with the dark now. When my folks used to say, you know, go in the kitchen and get something, or go in the kitchen. I said, I want a glass of water. Go in the kitchen and get. We were in the living room. They had one lamp on during the World War II days and everything. And I would kind of walk backward, keeping my eye on the light in the living room. I walked through the dining room and I could still see the light shining, and I would walk all the way up to the kitchen that had a swinging door, and I would put my hand and I'm trying to find that light switch with my back to the kitchen because it was dark. And as soon as I turned it on, then I could turn and walk in the kitchen. I could not go in there when it was pitch dark. I just couldn't see. And I was afraid. There's probably a good reason for people to be afraid, because you can't see. How do you stumble and hurt yourself? Anybody ever stump their toe in the dark? Anybody ever hit themselves? You know, as one guy said, well, I walk like this. He said, you know, I put my hands out like this. That is not a good way. Let me tell you, do not put your hands out like this. Put your hands out like this. That way, if there's a door this way, and you don't just walk with your hands in between it and smack yourself in the face, you know, you go, you know, because you can't see the door that's halfway open, you know what I mean? So you put your hands out like this, and you won't run anything. So the dark, you can't see. And there's one thing about the dark. It's the only thing that I know of that exists as a result of something else that is absent. The only thing I know of, now there may be other things, but I just don't know of it. I suppose you could say silence is the absence of noise, but dark is the absence of light. If you have no light, then it's dark. And in the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Bible says this: the earth was formless and void. In verse 2, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then in verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was the evening and morning of the first day. So we have a light. The sun shines. And I don't know about you, but I've gone to some movies. You ever go to a movie, and then they have these scenes where it's in the dark, and it's stormy, and it's rainy, and it's dark, and it's just foreboding. And I just can't wait till those scenes are over, and they kind of fade out, and then the new scene comes on. It's bright daylight, and the sun is shining, and now, you know, the storm is over. And it just buoys your spirits for some reason. Maybe it's good that children, people, are afraid of the dark. Because I think automatically we all tend to want to go to the light, to the day, rather than to the night. And the Bible uses darkness and light as metaphors. They're metaphors. Let's take a look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. In here, Paul's using it as a metaphor. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. What are the deeds of darkness? But rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. See, darkness is like a cover. It covers you. You can't be seen. You're invisible because there's darkness. People can't see in the dark. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So what is visible is the light. And we're not to be a part of the fruitless deeds of the darkness. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, He talks this way in Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. Doing good deeds like we're going to do as a church for the homeless or for the needy. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Now, these are the truly hungry. These are not not drug addicts and all that. But I mean, you know what I mean? There are people who are hungry because they don't work or they've just ruined their life through drugs and that kind of thing. But if you help people who genuinely need it and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. In the book of Job, darkness, he says in this in Job 5, darkness comes upon them. He's talking about the evildoers. This is the other people talking here. Upon them in the daytime. At noon they grope as in the night. Evildoers grope at noontime like they do in the night. And in Job 24, it talks about this. This is a truism, even though it was spoken by some of Job's friends. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. He thinks, no eye will see me. And this is Job 24, verses 15 through 17. And he keeps his face concealed. In the dark, men break into houses. Most people are not usually worried about somebody breaking in their house during the daytime, although there have been some burglars during the daytime. But most people, because you can see them. You can see them. In the darkness, they can't be seen on the outside, and you can't see them generally coming in. So men break into houses in the dark. But by day, they shut themselves in. They're out of business for a while. They want nothing to do with the light. For all of them, deep darkness is their mourning. They get up when it's dark. They start their day. If you're a robber, if you're a thief, when are your best hours? you get up when it's dark and you start. And they make friends with the terrors of darkness. They make friends. I'm afraid of the dark. I don't want to be there. But they make friends with the terrors of darkness because that's when they can do their evils the best. And they like to carouse. They like to go out. They like to do it. They can't be seen as well. Can't be seen as well. I mean, it just makes sense. If you're going to do something wrong, most people do it in the dark. Ecclesiastes says this. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 13 and 14. I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. Now, if you had complete darkness, think about it. If everything was dark, if there were no light, what would happen to the world? Well, plants couldn't grow. They need the light for photosynthesis. And the plants wouldn't grow. The mold and the mildew would exist because it is driven away and killed by light. So a lot of these things, I mean, if there was just darkness all the time, it would just be a horrible life. And of course, God made it so that you and I need the sun. And the darker our skins, the more sun we need. I can take a lot more sun than people who are fairer than I. And I need it. Because it becomes vitamin D. A lot of people are afraid of the sun. But if you had a good diet, you don't need to be afraid of the sun. But, if you got skin cancer, don't take any chances on that. But I don't usually use any kind of, sunscreen. I don't use it. I like the vitamin D. I need the vitamin D. Now we find that we've got a huge deficiency of vitamin D in American culture now, among Americans. And that is contributing more and more to osteoporosis, more and more to broken bones, more and more to deficiencies in your immune system. Vitamin D is needed for your heart, for everything. And now they find out, oh, wow, we've neglected vitamin D. Oh, yeah, we have. We thought it only was for rickets. No, it's for a lot more than just rickets. So vitamin D is a very essential factor. And you can get it for free from the sun if you're eating right and your skin is healthy. You've got the unsaturated fatty acids, you eat butter and you eat regular eggs and you eat all the good natural things, you could probably get it for free. Yeah, he says, I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Yeah, they both die. Yeah. No matter how wise you are, you're eventually, no matter how much wisdom you've collected, no matter how much knowledge you've got, eventually you die, the other guy dies, he's empty-headed, but both die, both go. That's it. That's part of discouraging. In the book of Micah, chapter 3, Micah talks like this. He says, therefore, night will come over you without visions and darkness without divination. Night will come over you without any vision. Darkness will be without divination. The sun will set for the prophets. He's talking now about the nation, God's nation, and how the sun will set on the prophets and the day will go dark for them, because the prophets haven't prophesied properly, most of them. The seers will be ashamed and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces because there is no answer from God. You know, when people get in a bad shape, what do they want to do? Will God give us an answer? Well, why did this happen? Well, why is this happening? You know, we want an answer from God. So they go to the prophet. He said, well, I think it's because we got this thing. And they go to another guy. Oh, I think it's because we've been bad about this. And somebody else says this and somebody else says that. And there is no answer from God. And they will be disgraced, these prophets. They will be shamed, these diviners. The diviners will be disgraced. The prophets will be ashamed. Yeah, and the sun's setting on them. Darkness is coming, which means they don't know. They don't have light. And light becomes what, brethren? Light becomes truth. It becomes righteousness. It becomes the good actions. When you do good actions, you are a light. And in 1 John chapter 2, he explains here that whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks around in darkness. To hate brothers, to hate brethren in the church is to walk around in the dark. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him or her or anyone. In other words, it means a generic person. Whoever hates his brother or sister walks in darkness. They are in darkness. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They are so deep in the dark they can't even see themselves. They do not, listen to this phrase, it's a very interesting statement from the New International Version, the way they put it. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now, you're walking in such darkness, you trip and you fall. And then you walk again, and you trip, and you fall. You keep stumbling, but you're in such darkness. Your mind, and it's a metaphor for their mind has shut down. Their mind is not open to information and God's knowledge. Their mind is not open to see clearly their lives, and they can't figure out why they keep having problems. I have clients just like that. They cannot figure out why they are in such deep troubles, and they just keep making the same mistakes. They get up and they fall down, and they don't realize it. You're on drugs, you don't figure that out. You're doing this and you didn't figure that out, and you do this action, you don't figure that out, and you get in trouble here because you don't figure that out. You know, they just never figure it out. They're in such deep darkness, they don't know what makes them stumble. They trip and they fall and they trip and they fall. Because, why? Because they're in darkness. They're not walking with the light. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention. Peter says, you'll do well to pay attention to it, as to the light, to a light shining in a dark place. The word of the prophets of the scriptures is like a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, if you'll recall, the world, in a sense, is in darkness for the most part. It is in darkness. Jesus said it. Why do men love darkness rather than the light? Because their deeds are evil. When Jesus was captured on the night he was betrayed, he was captured and they finally got him. Then he said, okay, this is your hour. And he used the phrase, and the power of darkness. The evil powers of the world, the evil regimes of the world, these places in Egypt, this man Mubarak, that was the head of the Egyptian, stole these billions of dollars. He's a billionaire. He stole what the United States gave to him for his people. And he didn't take it for his people. He used it for himself and he put it all in all these places. And now he's on trial. He's a criminal, what he did to his people. And these little potentates that claim to help people. Yet the overthrow of them is not necessarily good for the United States, because now you've got people who hate the United States and they're going to get in charge. So we have all these situations in which the evil is there, and this world is cascaded in darkness. The whole world. Until what? Until the day dawns. We need to look to the prophets. We need to look to God's word. Because God's word is like what? Here it is. In Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know about you, but when we go to bed at night, we have flashlights beside our bed. How many of you have a flashlight beside your bed? Good. You have some kind of flashlight because perchance an earthquake or a complete power break in a time of a new moon, and there's no moon, and all the city lights go out, you'll be surprised how dark it can be. And guess what? All those little lights we have, you know, and we have a lot of these little lights too, you know. You got this little beam light on, you know, on that little thing, being, and that thing's got something. And then you got all these little lights. You go into the kitchen and there's, you know, the stove got a light, and this thing's got a light, and you got a little light. And so you can almost see your way even in the dark because you get these teeny little lights, but, you know, not 100%. But if everything went out, you need a flashlight. You need something that illumines your path. And what does the Bible say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, to my feet, where I'm going. I got to watch where I walk. I could stumble, I could fall, I could break a toe, I could hit my head, and the lamp to my path. So we listen to the prophets. They're like a light shining in a dark place until the day is going to come and dawn on us. God's day. The day of God's return. And the morning star, Jesus Christ is that morning star, rises in your hearts. And the day will come when he will rise for the whole world to see. Now Jesus said like this in the book of Matthew chapter 6. You and I are lamps. We are, light has to be inside us. And it goes like this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Your body is filled with light. light comes in you. But if your eye is bad, now what is the eye? Again, it's not just this one. You say, well, that guy's blind. Well, he can't see. Therefore, his body is filled with darkness. No. It has nothing to do with. Do you see with your eyes, brethren? You think you see with your eyes? You don't. You see with your mind. If you don't see with your mind, you don't see it. That's why sometimes my mind, well, didn't you see that? I know, I didn't see it. I say I didn't see it. In fact, my eye took it in, but my mind didn't pay attention to it. Therefore, I said I didn't see it because it never dawned on me that I saw it. You take in so much information with your eyes that you can't. You'll say, I have clients who have come to my office for years. I mean, literally sometimes years. And they'll walk in and behind the couch is a picture. And they'll look at that picture and they'll say, oh, you got a new picture. I'll say, no, that picture's been here for years. I said, been here all the time I've been here? Yes, it's been here. I said, but you come in, you're not looking for my picture. You're not aware of it. You've got your mind on your troubles. You've got your mind on other things. And so when you walk in, you're not looking. Your mind is not active on that. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye is bad, that means you're not seeing truth. You're not seeing fact. You're not seeing righteousness. You're not seeing holiness. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And darkness is the evil. Darkness is the error. Darkness is the sin. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, if what should be light that is in you becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus saying to his disciples, how great would that darkness be? I'm going to read the similar thing in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 34 through 36 goes like this. The lamp of your body is your eye. When your eye is clear, your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Then watch out, that the light in you may not be darkness. If therefore the whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it shall be wholly illumined, as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. You are like a light, aren't you? You and I are like lights. And this is what God wanted originally for Israel. He wanted Israel to be this light. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. This is what God wanted. He never got it through Israel, but this is what he wanted. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. That's what he wanted from Israel. That's what he wanted from. To open blind eyes. To bring out prisoners from the dungeon. To open blind eyes. You're a light to open blind eyes. To bring out prisoners and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. You'll notice that prisons are associated with the darkness. Dungeons, prisons are associated with darkness. When you're in prison, it's like a darkness. When you're in a dungeon, you're in a darkness. And Israel was supposed to be this light for the people. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's what Isaiah is saying. Come on, let's walk in the light of the Lord. But no, they didn't want to do that. What did they do? They did everything else. They did sins, they did evils, they ripped off the poor, they did this, they perverted justice. There were crimes. Chapter 49 of Isaiah, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I also will make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now that is possibly a future a future prophecy for the millennial time when Israel will be made something for the nations to see. Isaiah chapter 49, again, saying to those who are bound, that's what you're supposed to do. Go forth to those who are in darkness. Show yourselves. Isaiah 49, 9. Isaiah 60, verse 3. The nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's what God wanted. He wanted that, and he's going to get it eventually in the millennial time. Yes, in the meantime, as Psalm said, the light, the word, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now in Psalm 112 and verse 4, light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. Light arises in the darkness. We're in darkness. We're in a world that is full of darkness. And light rises in this darkness for the upright. In Isaiah 5, verse 20. But here's what happens. Here's how the perversion comes. Isaiah 5, verse 20, and God condemns it right here. For woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who substitute darkness for light. Think of this. You need a light? Okay, let's kill all the electricity. No. They substitute darkness for light, which means they substitute error and evil as though it were good. They call evil good. They call the good evil. Oh, this is good. That's a good thing to do. This is good, right? And it may be evil. And they call evil, they call evil good. And they call what is good, truly good, an evil thing. They substitute darkness for light. Reverse, they substitute light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. They just pervert the entire thing of what is true and what is right and what is holy and what is good. It's changed all up. And God condemns it. The word is woe to those. Woe to those who call evil good. Good evil. Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. That's what he says to us. You are the light of the world. Where's the world? All around us. What is it? It's in darkness. What are we? We're supposed to be light. Now he says, you don't take a lamp and you put it under a bushel. You don't turn your flashlight on in the darkness and then put your clothing on it, or put it in your shoe, or put something over it. What do you do with it? You let it shine. Then he says in verse 15, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand. You want to give the light, raise it up as high as possible. Light that goes up as high as possible casts the greatest amount of light everywhere. That's what you want. You want the light high. You don't want it down low where other things stop it. Up high. You notice where we put lamps. You notice, go into any place. They don't put these lights on the floor. You ever notice that? When you go into a building, go into any church building, go into any auditorium, ask how many lights are on the floor. They hang them from the ceiling. They want them up high so they get the most exposure. So you are the light of the world. They don't put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Jesus then is giving us a metaphor again. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Good works. Remember we said that? Good works are. Light rises in darkness for the upright. Good works are a form of light that they may see. Men see these good works. People see your good deeds. And what do? They glorify your Father in heaven. That's what you want. Your light must shine because the world is dark. And if you take all of God's people and all the righteous people and you just wipe them out, think of how dark the world would really be. If nobody followed God's way, if nobody kept the commandments, if nobody did what Jesus Christ said, nobody followed his instruction, there was no forgiveness, there was no mercy, there was no kindness, there was no goodness, what would happen to the world? We are the light of the world. Let your light shine in such a way that they may see your good works. Now, you know, you can hide. You say, well, I'm a very righteous person. I know church members. I know people say, well, I'm just an individual Christian. I stay home. I don't go anywhere. I don't see anybody. I don't talk to anybody in the world. I just want to read my Bible and study, and I don't let anybody see me. And I don't do anything for anybody. Well, that's fine. Okay, I'm not going to say you're a bad person for it, but you're certainly not letting your light shine. You're not making other people see it. They don't see it. So, yeah, it's fine. You've got a lot of light. You're a lamp. You're a whole lamp all to yourself there, and you put it under a peck bushel. You keep it locked up in your outhouse. I mean, no, in a shed, you know, someplace where it's just there. But, you know, nobody else sees it. It has to be out there. Your righteous deeds have to be seen. Your good works have to be seen. That people know that you're doing something that's right and good. That you live right. That you live honorably. That you live respectably. That you live honestly. And then they will glorify. They can glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's another passage in 1 John. I want to turn to 1 John chapter 1. This great passage here. It's four books from the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 1. He's talking about the life that was manifested, the eternal life that was manifested. And he says, these things I write so that your joy may be complete. Now he comes to verse 5. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and announce to you that God is light. You cannot turn that around in the Greek, and you should not ever turn it around in English. Light is God. No, because otherwise we'd be worshiping the lamps here, and we'd be worshiping flashlights and the moon and the sun. That's what the pagans believed, that light was God. No, it's God who is light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. See, I can't say that. In me, there's some darkness. God is light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. None. If we say that we have fellowship with him, okay, I'm walking with God. I'm fellowshipping with God, but we walk in the darkness. Okay, I'm over here in the darkness. There's God. And I say, well, you know, I have a lot of fellowship with God. I'm right with God all the time. But I'm walking in the darkness. Guess what, brethren? We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, you can't say I have fellowship with him, but there's no, he is light, and in him there's no darkness. So if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, and he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, which is, again, the darkness is a metaphor for the sin, error, evil. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, this is verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's verse 9. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There's a very interesting verse here in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, it's a very unusual statement. Usually people say, if we say we don't sin, if we say we don't commit sin, if we say we don't make sin, that's one way. But that's not John's way here, nor is it John's way in the gospel. John connects two words here, have and sin. Have sin. And have it. And he connects these two words, and it's unique almost to John's writings, the word have and sin. So let's take a couple of places where Jesus talks about it. In John 9, John's Gospel 9, verse 41, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, now he's talking to the Pharisees, see? We're going to understand what this word have sin means here. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, remember, he's talking to this one guy who was blind. He said, you know, your sins are forgiven. And they said, well, are our sins forgiven too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. You wouldn't have sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Because you say, we see, your sin remains. This guy's blind. He didn't know better. He's blinded. But you say, we see it. Therefore, your sin remains. Chapter 15 of the book of John. Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. Notice the word again. It's echo hamartia in the Greek. Echo hamartia. Have sin. Echo means sin, have. All right? If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have. Have. Own it. Be responsible for it. Be in a state of it. They would not have sin, but they have no excuse for their sin. And in verse 24 of the same chapter, John 15, verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. There again, he uses that phrase, have sin. Now they have both seen and hated me and my Father. In other words, they take the full responsibility for this sin. This sin is theirs. They hold it, it's there, it's theirs. And in chapter 19, I'm going to read this from the Christian Jewish, no, it's called the Complete Jewish Bible. This is from Christian Jews who translate the New Testament. So I want you to listen to how they translate John chapter 19, verse 11. Yeshua answered, because they use Jesus' name in the Hebrew, you would have no power over me if it hadn't been given to you from above. This is why the one who handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin. Well, let's translate that in another translation because they didn't translate the word has. And here it is in the Christian Standard Bible. You would have no authority. He's talking to Pilate, you know, and on his trial. He's talking to Pilate. Pilate's saying, you know what, I can do this to you and I can release you. You would have no authority over me at all. Jesus answered, if it hadn't been given to you from above. This is why the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. He has sin. Again, that word, echo hamartia. He has sin. You have sin. That's the word. These are the references to that John makes. Now, in the New English translation, it goes like this. If we say, I'm reading 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 from the New English translation. If we say we do not bear the guilt of sin, that's how they translate their interpretation of the word have sin. We do not bear the guilt of sin. If we don't say we bear the guilt of sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, we all have. Now, in the book of James, for instance, I want to read this, chapter 3 of James, right after the book of Hebrews. And James chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 2. Now, verse 1, let me read verse. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. Stumble. We trip up. We cause offense in many ways. You do, I do. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. That is, completely able to control everything. He's able to bridle the whole body as well. He has complete control. If he just doesn't stumble in what he says. We all stumble in many ways. We have sin. Sin comes on us from time to time when we step in that darkness. When we walk in that darkness, we own it. It's ours. And how do we get rid of it, brethren? We confess it to Jesus Christ, and he cleanses us. He cleanses us from this sin so that we don't have it. He cleanses us from this sin. We don't have the sin anymore. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Then we don't need Jesus. If we say we have none, we have no need for sin, we have no need for a Savior because we have no sin, yet we all stumble in many ways, we don't go to Jesus Christ for cleansing. See, if we confess our sins, then he's faithful and righteous to forgive it and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar because he says we have. And then his word is not in us. So here's the whole point here. We must walk in the light. God is in the light. Jesus Christ is in the light. And if you follow them and you listen to Jesus Christ's words, and if his words are in you, my brethren, then you are the light of the world.